Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Good evening and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, director of the Comlock Center, and your guest co-host tonight's show, along with myself, are Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That is Changing the World, as well as Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of Spirits They Are Present, Janet Mayer. We'd like to welcome you to tonight's show. It's all about your personal experiences. Everyone has a story to share, and we invite you to join us in this conversation and share your experiences, your thoughts, your questions. We like to examine personal experiences that defy mainstream thinking. So, although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this particular show centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. So if you'd like to grab a pen and paper to jot down these telephone numbers so you can join our conversation, they are 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. Hello, Betty and Janet.
Hello. Hello, Kim and Janet.
How's everyone tonight?
We're doing well. Or I'm doing well. I'm assuming you guys are doing well.
We are.
All is well.
So what's been on your mind lately, Janet?
Well, I guess, you know, I was doing meditation today and I was just thinking about, you know, whoever was going to call in tonight and that, you know, that I think it's good to remember that everybody has an individual story. And they come from an individual place and have, you know, their own perspective on what's going on. And I think it's really important when they share those stories that we are open and to help other people and the other listeners to remember that, you know, it's all about the communication. And I think that's really important. So that's my thought for the day.
I love that.
That sounds great. And I think, yes, we all have different perspectives. We're individual creative beings. And oh my, we have two callers.
Okay. We do. We do. Kathy from New York, we'd like to welcome you to the show. Thank you for picking up that phone and calling in to talk with us.
Can you hear us, Kathy?
Yes.
Oh, great. Well, we are anxious to hear what you have to tell us.
Well, I just finished reading the book by Lynn Jackson, is her name? No.
I think you're thinking Laura Lynn Jackson. Is that what
you're Laura Lynn Jackson. I just finished reading that, and it touched a lot to me. I lost my son about 12 and a half years ago, and I just need, like, some help trying to find some signs. I don't know if I'm not open enough. I don't know if it's my grief that continues to take over, and that's why I'm calling.
Well, I mean, I think that part of it is, you know, if you're being open, I think that's the important thing. And I feel as if probably, you know, your son has left signs along the way, but maybe because like you're in tune with him, you're either just letting him go and thinking, oh, you know, I mean, have you had signs like that where you think you received a sign, but you're not sure, and then you question it? Do you have anything like that happening?
I do.
Because it's kind
many,
of
many, years.
Go on.
For a few years, and still today, I mean, for a few years, it was a constant. I'd wake up. He passed on December 12th, and 2011, and my phone is always saying 12:12 every time I wake up in the middle of the night, or I look at my watch during the day, and I want to think that that's a sign from him.
And I believe totally that is a sign, because that's why I was asking you the question. Is I feel like he really is giving you signs, and you know, you might be looking for that big, like, flashing neon sign coming at you, when really it's kind of just right in front of you anyway, which would be like the 12:12. And so I'm thinking that, you know, what you might want to start doing is, you know, writing that down, or making a little note that, you know, he's coming through like that. And you can ask him for some signs. You know, I know Laura Lynn does it. She's wonderful. Her book is, you know, really beautifully written. And I think it helps many, many people. And I think that one thing that she mentions is about, you know, asking for a sign, and you can do that. And, you know, sometimes there's a lot of different ways that it can work, and you can, you know, ask for a unique sign, see what happens. I always suggest people write something down. One reason why I like to say that is because it kind of makes you aware of how many times they actually are coming through. And sometimes we question that, you know, and I'm going to tell you something. This is going to sound really bizarre, but I got this in meditation this morning, and I asked for it to come through for the callers. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to wait and see, you know, if anybody calls in about something like this with a sign. And one thing that came through was everyone around their house has like a bag of rice or some beads or maybe dimes or something. And you know that your loved ones are with you. They're in your heart. You know, they're in your mind, and they always will be. And I feel like when throughout the day they pop in your head, you take a piece of that rice or that dime and you put it in a bowl. And at the end of the day, you look at it and you're like, you know, I have a couple dimes or a couple pieces of rice or something. And one thing it will do is it will remind you to stay open to when they come through, to just kind of stop or pause in that moment throughout the day and remember, and simply send them, you know, send them energy, tell them, I got it. I love you. I hear you. You know, and then I feel like that also opens the door for them to come through more. Because I've always said in many times on these shows that, you know, if you ring the doorbell and nobody answers, they're going to walk away. But they normally come back because they have something to tell you. So they'll come back and they'll ring the doorbell again. And I think, you know, if you are staying open, that's the important thing. And you, like I said, it doesn't have to be a flashy neon sign, but, you know, you can ask for a sign, but you can also do it in a more, you know, subtle way where you're just kind of being aware and spend like, you know, a couple days doing that. And if you're busy, I understand that's the way it goes, but our loved ones will come through when they have that opportunity to show themselves, to come through to in a way that you'll get like the 12:12. That is a perfect, perfect example. And I think it's beautiful the way it came out.
Yeah, I think it is. It's important.
Yeah. My daughter, who's 2 years older than him, has many dreams of him. She just asks at night, and she has them. Mm-hmm. I also saw George Anderson many years ago when he was a child, going through a lot of physical issues, health-wise, and I saw him after my son passed again, and he was very on target of things that he said, and the reason I'm calling and saying I don't know if I'm open enough, because it came through that my daughter gets these dreams. She has these thoughts. She'll say, you know, Mickey, I need you to come to me tonight. I'm having a problem. And she has these vivid dreams. She wakes up in the middle of the night. She writes things down. And George Anderson said to me, I'm either grief-stricken or I'm just closed off. And that's why he does come to me, but I can't remember.
Okay, well, for one, I totally believe that everyone is open in their own way. And I think that that's something really important to remember. Okay, and I think that, you know, you have to remember that for your daughter, that's her way. It doesn't mean it's your way. It could be her way. And so she obviously gets dreams, and that's a beautiful way for it to come through for her. But your way, it doesn't mean you're closed off. It just means you'll get your signs or visions, or you'll hear something, or you'll just, you know in your own way. And so don't block that in thinking, oh, I'm not going to get it because somebody told me I'm blocked. I don't really believe that is exactly how it works. Okay. I really believe that you can have, you know, loved ones come through in all different ways. And a lot of times people get things differently, you know, so that's a very normal thing. So I think when you have that, you know, you need to just remember that you are open in your own way. And instead of like saying, well, you know, my daughter gets it this way and this person gets it that way, why don't you like kind of sit at night before you go to sleep, or, you know, lay in bed and just say, you know, I'm going to be open to you coming through. And how would you like to come through? I want to be open for the way you want to come through. And that might allow them to, you know, for your son to come through in a completely different way than you would imagine. And it would be even more beautiful than you can imagine. So, you know, try not to block off and say, well, I just don't think I'm open because I don't believe it. You love him. He feels your love. And that's the connection right there.
I agree with you, Janet. Absolutely.
Okay.
And Kathy, as far as being too grief-stricken, I mean, everyone goes through the grief. And I had the experience of my son coming through my husband to tell me that, you know, I'm holding on a little bit more than is easy for him, that it was a little bit harder, that if I could accept this as reality and kind of let go a little bit more, that it would be easier for him to come through. And I thought I was doing pretty well, but not well enough, I guess. But I think all of us can, you know, we can get stuck a little bit there, but we can just ask, just help me to release, you know, this hold and this grief. And I'm open. I love him. I want to hear from him.
Mm-hmm. And don't think either that because, you know, it's been a while that he won't come through, because that's not true. They can come through at any time. I had a loved one come through to me like over 20 years after they passed. So it can happen, and you just have to stay open and, you know, ask them, talk to them, you know, and just say, you know, I'm going to be open how you want to come through. You know, I know that, you know, your sister gets, you know, you come through for her in visions and, you know, when she sleeps, but for me, it doesn't seem to work. So try to make a way to come through in a way that I will see it. And then even if you think the minimal, like it might've been him, write it down, because I think there'll start to be some kind of pattern that maybe you're just, you know, it's all coming together. Okay.
And yeah, also, that's a good idea to write it down.
Well, mm-hmm. And Kathy, don't think you're not connected, because love is the most powerful frequency there is. And you and he are connected. There can be no question about that. Love connects you eternally.
Yeah. I know. It's just still so hard.
Sure.
You know, it never goes away. He struggled his whole life health-wise.
Mm.
Never complained, was a happy person, kind, and I don't know why. Why did these things happen?
Mm-hmm.
I say that his work was done on this earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, none of us know the exact reason, but we do know, you know, that that's part of living, unfortunately, but it is. It's all part of our life.
And the gratitude for his life also strengthens our connection. Gratitude is an amazingly powerful energy. And he sounds like you were very grateful for him in spite of everything he had to go through, that just grateful for who he was.
Well, and all those
I
wonderful
was. Years. He was God's gift to me.
And that's something to be very grateful for, you know, and thankful that you had that opportunity to spend this life with them. I mean, that's big.
And everything, this dimension is just only for a while, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But it is eternal on the other side. The gift is eternal on the other side.
Right. Right. Well, they told me he would only live past the age of 4, but he made it to 28, and I am grateful for that.
Goodness, yes.
That's a lot of years of blessings, yes. It is.
Yeah. And if he wasn't well, there's some relief in knowing that he doesn't have to go through that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is true, too, and I have felt that. And we do a lot of things in his name and his honor.
That's beautiful.
We try to keep him alive in that respect.
Well,
I just want signs, but now I'm going to write things down like every time when I think something.
That is really good.
I appreciate that advice.
Well, good. And I think, too, you know what? Make sure you date it so that you can kind of see a pattern and see if some of the dates stand out. Like if, you know, he comes through on a certain date and, you know, you write it down, all of a sudden you're like, oh, that was special because of such and such. And that might be important, too. So, you know, there's a lot of things like that kind of they all go together. And when we really pay attention and we're really watching, it's kind of like, oh, my gosh, it was right there in front of us. So keep that in mind, because I kind of feel like, you know, he's sending you some stuff. And if you start writing it down and, you know, being a little more aware with, you know, the numbers or the dates, that I think, I mean, you're already getting a huge sign, which is the 12-12, which is amazing. And, you know, don't, you know, knock that. Be, you know, just kind of have it be like, okay, that's our thing. That's really great. So keep that in mind too, okay?
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Well, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
So we have Jean from Florida. We hope you're still on the line. Are you there, Jean?
Oh, yes, I am.
Well, we thank you for your patience while we enjoyed our conversation with Kathy.
That's okay. I enjoyed it, too.
Oh, good. Good. What would you like to share? What do you have on your mind this evening?
Well, I actually was going to listen to the show, but I accidentally called the number to join in. So I wanted to know the topic of tonight's program. Is it about deceased loved ones?
It sure is. It sure is. And connecting with our loved ones in spirit and supporting each other and examining those experiences and how we can integrate them into our lives and grow.
Yes. In a safe space.
Go ahead.
No,
that was it. Betty had just added, in a safe space. So
we all know those connections are there.
Yes.
Well, I've had some things happen, and I know that they were actual signs. My husband passed away in 2004. He was a police officer on Long Island, and I've gotten numerous signs. In fact, I don't really like to tell a lot of people other than my friends who feel the same intuitiveness that I feel I have, because I've had my sister say to me that I was delusional with some of the signs that I've had. And one of the signs I did back then when it happened back in 2004 was on a program about this, and they said definitely this was a sign, but he actually appeared to me.
Ooh.
So I was driving out of the driveway, and I was, instead of turning right, I turned left, just for the spur of the moment. And as I was coming up the block, there he was waving. He had a special wave that he would always wave to me. And he had on some clothing that was, I knew that, you know, that was in his closet that he had. And I just kept crepping up the street with my foot on the brake because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And as I couldn't stop, but as I turned the corner, I looked into the rearview mirror and he was gone.
Gosh, that's a problem.
Oh my gosh, that's a sustained period of time. Yeah. I mean, even the fleeting things,
yeah,
save people,
but,
and
yeah,
give
but,
them something to hold on and be nurtured by.
And I would think, at least I've always been told, that the visual is, it's kind of tough to get that kind of clear visual, you know,
to come through to us.
To come through, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's why I was surprised that he had that much power. It was maybe like 3 weeks after he passed that happened. I had another, I do get signs from him, but one of the two important ones was one year after he passed on our wedding anniversary, I was sitting trying to put up a picture on Facebook and write something. And I, all of a sudden, these things kept popping in my head and I couldn't get them down fast enough. I had to grab a piece of paper and pencil because all the things that I was saying meant so much to me. But after a couple of months of reading them, I realized that I wasn't saying them to him. He was saying them to me.
I love it.
That's beautiful. First of all, I don't think it was an accident that you pulled out of your car and went left. I think you had a connection with your husband and that was meant to be. Second, I don't think it was an accident you called in to listen, but you actually are on the show. I think you were supposed to do that so that you could share your story because it's very important. And I think that, you know, with you saying you saw your husband, I understand that. I have seen people as well. And it's amazing. It's beyond, you know, what you can imagine because you know the circumstance and yet you're seeing them or you're seeing your husband. And I think that, you know, you have that connection with him. And I think that he is, you know, like when you said you were writing all that down, you were, you know, it was definitely, you know, spirit to spirit, you know, soul to soul, mind to mind. And you were basically, you know, doing that writing where it was coming through. And I think that is beautiful as well. And, you know, that's kind of his gift to you. I kind of look at it like he's, you know, leaving you with gifts along the way, which is really cool. And I just think that's a really beautiful story that you're sharing. And no, you're not, you know, you're not delusional. You're not crazy. You're nothing. You're very balanced. You're very open and you're listening to your loved one because of love. And I think that's beautiful. And well, don't you think that's amazing, Betty? I love hearing that.
I just say, you know, when we have these experiences, we're simply being honest with ourselves and not trying to throw them away or reduce them or act like there's something else. No, the most intelligent thing we can do is say to ourselves, I saw him and I know these messages are from him. But, you know, the ones who call us delusional for that are not yet opened to who we really are and what is really going on in the universe. Not to blame them, because we've had hundreds of years of people in power telling us that that's all nonsense. That's just totally delusional. There's no such thing. There's nothing but rationality, intuition. And they always said, oh, that's just women's intuition. In other words, frivolous and nonsensical. And so we've been brought up in a world in which that is what we've been taught and brainwashed to believe. But so many of us are experiencing, and like you, being true to those experiences. But it kind of hurts to hear someone say that, but you know what you've experienced.
Right.
Well, I know, yeah, I know that this is all true because, if I have another story, if you're willing to hear it, this one was really okay. So after he passed, I had all his jewelry and he had this gold bracelet and I would wear it, many, many times. It was a little bit big on my wrist, but it used to fall down on my hand. And not that it fell off, So one morning when I got up, of course, I made my bed and the sheet and the blanket and then the quilt. And the jewelry was actually in my bathroom. And I got finished getting dressed and I put on my earrings and my watch and I put on his bracelet. And I had a long sleeve sweater on. And when I went out to the car in the it was in the garage, I put the car in reverse and my sweater was covering the bracelet. So when I pulled my sweater back to make sure I still had the bracelet on, and I went to work and I went to the gas station and I went to a store. And when I got out of the car, I pulled my sweater up and the bracelet was gone. So I was distraught. I was just so upset. And I traced my steps back to every place that I went. I couldn't find the bracelet. Excuse me. When I got home, I was so distraught. I couldn't even eat. So I laid down on the bed on top of my quilt, my bedspread. And then I proceeded to pull the bedspread back. And I just got not in the sheets, but I pulled the spread off and it was a blanket in the top sheet. And I laid on the bed and I told him how sorry I was that I lost the bracelet. And I felt something on my back. So I got up and I took this blanket off and I took the sheet off and there was the bracelet.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Now, the second day, I had the bracelet in my bathroom and I had a TV in my bathroom and I had the bracelet on and I was feeling the clasp on the bracelet to make sure that it wasn't my imagination. And I said to him, was this you? Was this really you? And effort. This is really sounding weird, but the bracelet flipped off of my wrist, hit the TV, and hit the bathroom floor.
Oh, wow.
So that was really something that I wanted to tell my sister, but like I say, she said, Jean, she says, it's just the grief. I said, no, this is not the grief. This is actual. She said, you didn't have the bracelet on. I said, I had the bracelet on when I put the car in reverse because my sweater was covering it. And I pulled my sweater back to see it was still there. I had it when I left the house. I lost it someplace out. But when I came home, she said, well, you didn't make your bed. You probably had the bracelet slipped off when you were late. I said, no. In the morning when I get up, I make my bed. And it's a top sheet, a blanket, and my bedspread. How could the bracelet get in between the bottom sheet and the top sheet?
Especially when you had it in the car. You knew it was on you.
Yeah. Yes, I knew it was on me. Yeah.
Well, that's
so, I just wanted to ask you, let me ask you your opinion on this. I've been told that I'm an intuitive, and I have, when I wake up in the morning, sometimes I read the Bible and I go back to sleep. I have these kind of dreams where, you know, when you're waking up in the morning, you don't want to open your eyes and you know you're awake and you say, oh, I got to get up. I got to get dressed. And you just lay there with your eyes closed. Well, I've had him come to me and he was kind of leaning on his knee. But he wasn't, he was like I saw his face, but his body was like a gray mist. And I said to him, because he never believed me when I used to go have my cards read, and I wasn't really ever to a medium, but I used to have my cards read, and he would always joke with me. He said, oh, that's ridiculous. That's just stupid. So in that dream, when he came to me and I saw him, I said to him, now you know. Now you really know everything, don't you? And he smiled at me, and I opened my eyes.
Oh,
so wow. Do you believe that they can come? But why wasn't he in bodily form? Why was he in like a gray, his body was like in a gray mist?
Well, I think they come through. They come through the best way they can. So, I mean, it might be very misty. But he still knew that you could see who he was or know who he was. Sometimes they can come through really clear. I mean, it's not going to be the same all the time. They're trying to come through. You know, they're trying to come through like an energy to get to us. And we have to go up to their level. They're trying to come down to our level, you know, and I'm just saying, you know, and you can look at it from one level, you know, over or whatever, however you want to look at it, sideways up. But it seems like he definitely learned something when he got to the other side. He was finding your connection in a new way, and he was able to do it pretty quickly because he knew that because of what you did all those years, that you were open, and he knew he could get through to you in a certain way, on a certain energy level, and that's what he did for you. And so you have that connection, and I think that that's really huge that, you know, you've been open to this. Like, a lot of people are just now becoming open because they just lost someone and they don't understand and they don't know, you know, what direction to go in. But it sounds like you've known for many, many years that you've already, you know, had this, you know, you paid attention, you had this belief or this openness that, you know, when he passed, that you knew there was going to still be that connection. And he found out quickly, oh yeah, I can come through. And guess what? You can see him, or guess what? You know, he's coming through and you're open to that. And I think that, you know, your combined energy helps, you know, it makes it, you know, you have to be open to it where, you know, there's people out there who are not open and they don't, they're like, well, or like, you know, you said your sister who may not be open to it, and that's okay. That's her journey. And we have to let that go. But you have to remember you have that. And that's all you have to remember is you have that connection with them. It's a beautiful connection. You're very fortunate that you can have that. And so, you know, cheer on that. And if somebody else doesn't understand, or that, you know, and two, you got to keep in mind also some people, they haven't had an experience like that. So they don't understand. It might not be they're not open. It's just they don't understand because they've never had that. So yeah. You have to keep that in mind as well. And you're having all these amazing experiences and somebody's going, oh no, oh no, just let that go and be like, that's okay. I am having them. I know I am. And more power to me. I'm going to keep having them. And I think that's beautiful. So remember that, you know?
Yeah. I really think that a lot of people, excuse me, who haven't had any kind of metaphysical situation happen to them, that they can't understand that connection because they've never had it. So when they hear something like that, you know, they just don't believe it, or they say, well, she's hallucinating or whatever. But when you do have that connection, it is a wonderful thing. There's been many more, but I haven't recently had what I had as of this past year. I haven't had as many, and I'm wondering to myself, because as you know, being Catholic, there's a thing called purgatory, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And I'm wondering, you know, in the Catholic religion, we pray for the dead. I don't see in any other religion that they do, but we do, and we pray to the saints. And so I'm just wondering to myself, and when I first started hearing about purgatory, I said, oh, no, you know, that I don't believe in that. But when you are a Catholic and you know that we have to be purified to be in heaven, and we are in heaven, but we're on a certain level. Like the other woman who called in first was talking about George Anderson. I also lived in the next town in Babylon. Next to Lindenhurst, where George was brought up. And we actually got married in Our Lady Perpetual Health, which is in Lindenhurst. And I watch his broadcasts. And I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. But I guess I'm thinking so far ahead, and I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Say something about George Anderson.
You were speaking
but
purgatory. You were speaking of purgatory.
Oh, purgatory, right. Okay, so George Anderson is a very devout Catholic. And in the Catholic religion, they don't see mediums or people like George Anderson. They believe that that's demonic, and I don't believe that. There's a lot of reasons why I don't follow all the strict rules of Catholic, but I was born Catholic, and I was, you know, baptized, received confirmation. I brought my kids up. My husband was Catholic, But some of the rules and the way they talk about it, I get really, really upset. I've stopped listening to some stations on Catholicism because I don't agree with what they say. I believe George Anderson is very authentic. My sister went to him, actually, and my cousin and my mother came through to him. I never got the chance to have an occasion to meet with him. But he talks about purgatory and how it's not a place of, let's say, what I first thought, that, oh, if you're not, you know, not good enough to get into heaven, you go to purgatory. That's not it. I've researched it, and I know that that's just a place that you might go before you're able to get in. I don't even think that in purgatory you don't get to meet Jesus. I believe you do. And especially at this time of year, with today being Holy Thursday, tomorrow Good Friday, I know that God, you know, has forgiven us our sins. He died on the cross for us. So I'm wondering if, because of the way he died, if at this point, and I pray all the time, I pray the rosary for him, for all the souls in purgatory, but mostly him. And I'm wondering at this time, if I haven't heard, if on the other side he has graduated up levels, because that's what George talked about. We talk about levels, and we talk about hell, and we talk about different levels of going higher and higher. I believe in reincarnation. That's another thing Catholic Church does not believe in, but I believe in it, because to me, I don't think we can ever learn all of the love that we have and lessons that we have to learn in one lifetime. So to me, I believe that maybe I haven't heard from him in the last year because he has evolved to a higher level. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I would go in, I'm going to go in a little bit different direction. Okay, so the way I see it as if I would, you know, you can put religion into it, or you can, you know, anybody can believe in whatever they want to believe and go in whatever direction. You know, I, as far as like what you're saying, my grandmother was one of the most devout Catholics you've ever come across. And she's the person who I saw 20 years later. And I think that I look at it as energy. Okay. I don't see it as they're going to this level, they're going to that level because, you know, now they're in purgatory, they're going to heaven. I don't see it as that. It comes across to me as they have a different energy when they transcend, when they, you know, go to the other side, wherever you want, whatever you want, would like to refer to it as. They have to connect with us. And it seems like your husband has a really good connection to you. And I think that has to be with partially, you know, you being open, but I feel like it also has to do with him. And I don't necessarily know if I would say has moved up a level and that's why you're not talking. It may be something to that sense. I look at it as maybe he is stepping back a little because you have to move forward with your life and you have different directions to go. And so in order to do that, it's not that he's holding you back. It's simply he's letting you know he's good. He's letting you know he's around. But at the same time, you know, and he's letting you know how much he loves you in all these different ways. But he's also maybe he could be stepping back a little, knowing that for you, you have, more directions to go in. And so he's helping you allow to move forward in those different directions. And he will still be with you in his own way. And I believe he can still come through to you at any time. Yes. I don't think it's just going to end. You know what I mean? Go on, Betty.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Janet. Yes. Yeah, I'm definitely agreeing with you. I think that our loved ones can come through wherever they are. There's no space anyway, but I think that on any level, they can still come through. We are connected. Once there is love, there is an eternal connection. So we don't have to worry about that, I think. I would like to also add that the church itself, much of its orthodoxy was formed by people who had not had mystical or visionary experiences, unfortunately. And number two, the church was very, very afraid of the mystics and the visionaries who did have actual experience with the other side, very powerful mystics. And I'm sure you know that the church made them the heretics. They were the bad guys because they feared, the leaders of the church feared that if people listened to them, they wouldn't need the church because it's a very independent communication with the other side. So the mystics always had a very difficult time with the church. Many of them were killed by the church. So certainly Jesus was a visionary himself and a mystic. And we know this from the Nag Hammadi texts which were used when Jesus was alive and the church was going to destroy them. So the monks who wanted to keep them and knew their value hid them. And they were only found after World War II. So in that, Jesus makes it very clear to Mary, who was also a visionary, that we do experience the other side. And she said, do we experience visions with the soul or the spirit? And he said, neither. It's the intermediary realm through which we have the visions. Well, this ties in with all the mystics' teachings, is that there are three realms in the universe. One is pure spirit, pure intellect, pure divine, you might say, although everything is divine. And there's no form. It's totally formless. But it is always moving, and it moves into the intermediary world. And there, the laws of the universe shape it into symbols and archetypes. And that's what the visionary can communicate with and be in. And our loved ones can take form and come through that intermediary world. Jesus was very much aware of that archetypal world that can be experienced through in the physical world. The other thing I wanted to say is that I was in communication with those in my family who died, but I never saw them. Now, my husband could see my son, and my son's girlfriend saw him, but he was an energy for me. We talked, he communicated, but I never saw his form, and or my husband's either, but I always knew where the energy was. So as Janet says, I think they appear in many different ways. That's,
And I think they still... Go on.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, we get caught up by the limits of our beliefs. And, you know, it's not that it's a fault. It just simply is, you know, how we were raised and what we would believe. And so I just want you to stay open that, you know, he could be, I think he could continue to come through, you know, at different times. And, you know, maybe right now you're, you know, you don't need him that much, or you don't need to, you know, at the beginning, maybe there was, you know, it was very strong and you were missing him and that love, you know, that you've lost. And maybe, you know, he's stepping back a little and saying, okay, you know, you have to move on, but I'm still here and I'm not going away. And I don't think that you have to think that he's going to go away. I think you just, you can move on with your life knowing that, you know, he's in a good place because he's coming through. And it doesn't mean that he's not, you know, developing further on, you know, or moving, you know, coming up with, you know, new knowledge or, you know, wherever he's going next, because we don't really know all of that. But I do feel like he continues that, you know, you send out a signal and you may not even know it. And I feel like everyone here, anyone who lost anyone, everyone who has lost someone, they have, they put out an energy, and it's love basically. And those on the other side can feel that, and they come through and they do give us signs. And sometimes we see them, sometimes we don't see them. And I think that, you know, for you, you were very fortunate to be able to see many, many things from him and have many experiences, and how wonderful and beautiful. And you need to hold those. I mean, I'm sure you hold those close to your heart. But it doesn't mean that he's going to go away, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know that he's very close, but there are things that sometimes I get angry, even at this time, because our daughter, our firstborn, who he was very close to, got really, really sick later in her life. She had two medulloblastomas and full head radiation. And sometimes, like, he was cremated, and I have his ashes on my dresser with his pictures. And sometimes I touch the ashes, and I say to him, you know, you left me to handle all of this because I'm her caregiver. I have power of attorney. She's 51. She's married. she has three children, and she got this brain tumor after she had her three babies. She actually went through in vitro because she couldn't conceive. And when she conceived with three babies, and 7 weeks in, she lost the third baby. And the doctor said, don't worry, you'll go full term. You'll go, you know, she had cesarean section. The twins were born. 6 months later, she gets pregnant naturally. And the third baby was born. Now, the third baby and the first one of the twins, which was a boy, look like twins. Not that they're not fraternal. What's the ones where you're not identical? They were fraternal. And she always says, Olivia always says, I'm the one that came back. And she's a very strong personality. And I think that happened because my daughter could not carry the three of them. And I think that happened for a reason. But right after that is when she came down with the medulloblastoma, the first one, and had it removed. And when she got the second one, 9 months, and she wouldn't take radiation because she was holistic. And she thought she could beat this on her own. Well, when she came down with the second one, we were down here in Florida, and a doctor, very, very good doctor down in Weston, took it out. And anyway, she went through a lot, and I take care of her now. My son-in-law is an inpatient because the twins now are 15, and the other one is 14, so he's got his hands full because my daughter cannot work anymore. She's on seizure medication because she started after 5 years, which we thought was, oh, this is great. She's past the five-year mark. Came these, she calls them episodes, they're seizures. So she's on medication. And I've got this all on my shoulders. And I say to him, you left me with all of this. But now I look at it as growth, because growth is painful. And right. I don't really think he left me. If he had the opportunity to stay, I think he would have stayed, because he loved all his children, but her the most, because she was the first. And so I blamed him for, there's a lot of emotions that go back and forth with his death with me. But of course, I will always love him, and I hope to see him again someday. But I hope that he understands that my anger or my frustration with having to deal with her situation is because I'm going to be 77 in June, and I've got my own problems, you know, to deal with. So, you know, it's kind of hard. And so I say that, and then I get sad, and I say to him, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. I know that you would have been here if you could. So,
Well, you know what, though? Go ahead, Betty.
Oh, I was just going to say, I really do think that the structures of our birth and death are, we do have something to say about it for sure, but I really think they're outside our ability to really understand, you know, when and why. I've talked to many women who feel angry. A friend whose her husband was also a policeman and killed when their child was just 2 years old. And of course, she just grieved so badly, but she also was angry, you know, that he left her with, you know, when they had this baby and she needed him to. But I just think that it just seems to me that it's bigger than that, you know, it's bigger than that.
Yeah.
Something else going on.
Well, and you know, when you were telling the story, it reminded me of thinking, because you saw your husband, because you have received signs from him, maybe he was letting you know that he's going to be your sounding board, that you can get mad at him and you can scream and cry and feel all those emotions. And he wanted to let you know maybe too that, you know, he hears you and the best he can do is to let you know he's there for you. Yeah. And I think that, you know, when you see it on a different light, maybe like that, you know, it's okay. You can say, oh, I'm sorry I got mad at you, but you can say, thanks for listening. I needed to do that. I had to get it off my chest. I'm so upset. I'm so mad. I'm so aggravated, you know, and you want to cry and scream at the same time. And then when you're done, you can be like, I know he was listening and I know he can't do something, but he's reminding me how strong I am, that, you know, in a way I hate saying that, because people say, what, oh, you're really strong. You're like, no, I'm not. But I think in the same sense, it's like, he's letting you know, look at yourself, look at what you're doing without me. And I'm still here. So I want you to know that. So, you know, I think keeping that in mind helps you find some of that balance, because you know you are carrying a heavy load, and that, you know, look what you've done. And that's pretty amazing, you know, when you think of that. And here he's giving you some little gifts along the way to say, I see it. I'm here. I see it. I can't do anything right now, but I want you to know I'm here for you as well. And that kind of maybe is like that extra little, you know, pat on your shoulder, or, you know, a little bit of strength that goes behind you to move you forward to help you with your daughter and with, you know, many situations.
Yeah. And I think with a partner, you know, you can just reveal everything you're going through, and they carry it. They can hold it for us. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it is his way of doing something.
Yeah.
I really do think that is his something.
Yeah.
It's, you're not alone. I'm here.
Yeah.
Even in me.
Oh God. Yes.
Yeah.
And just trust that. I don't have to keep popping in, you know, I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm back again. Just, yes, he's present.
Right.
And that is his gift and his contribution and his support to the family, which fortifies and strengthens you and probably helps you to get up and face each new day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because he was a very strong personality, and he has even left signs for her, more so than the other two children, because she was very close to him. And when she and I look at each other, I mean, you know, the cardinals, of course, come all the time, but there's one little story before I let you go, because I've held you up enough. We were in Hallmark, and we were looking around the store. She was in a different part of the store, and she was at the checkout counter, and all of a sudden I was walking towards her, and there on this very little piece of cabinet that they had were these three plaques with the cardinal. And it said, I will always be with you. And there was three of them. And I bought one for myself and one for her and one for my youngest daughter. And I brought them up to the counter and I said, Carrie, look at this. And she says, oh, Mom, it's Dad. I said, yes, it is. And I bought the plaques. And so, because he has shown cardinals, you know, so that was very special for her.
Absolutely. And yeah. Back to that about people not understanding it, I think you were correct when you said, both you and Janet, that people really, very often, they don't understand until they have, in fact, we know you have to have the experience. I mean, we can kind of believe, you know, that because we've heard a lot and they're more generous in their listening abilities, but actually it's when we experience it that we know that this exists. And my husband was, He was very kind to me and tolerant and patient. And one time I was trying to tell him something and I saw he wasn't listening. And so I said, you're not really interested in this, are you? And he said, you know, it isn't that I'm not interested. It's just that I've never had anything like that happen. I've never experienced that. And I don't know what to do with it. Well, about a year later, when our son died, he had experiences. And he sat up on the side of the bed after his first vision with Pishti, our son, and he said, I had no idea what you were talking about. I will never look at the world in the same way again. And I think that's what happens to us when we have the experience. And before that, we're often just, we can't do it, you know.
That's right. All right. And Jean, we have to thank you for calling in tonight, accidentally, and sharing what you have, because it's so important and it's so profound, and you really did a beautiful job of communicating these experiences, and people are hungry for this information. They want to know what you know. And for now, you've given them a real sample that they can probably almost taste.
That's wonderful.
So thank you so very much.
Thank you. I feel very lucky that I can have those experiences, because it makes you feel closer. And you do have, there's a lot of people out there who don't feel that there's an afterlife and that we never die. We just transpose into a different dimension, you know, of energy. And so that in itself is consoling to the heart, you know. So thank you so much for listening to my story. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, Jean.
Okay. Good night. Happy Easter.
Good night. To everyone listening as well.
Yeah.
Janet, are you ready?
Yes, but before I go, I just wanted to add one more thing to to the listeners is that don't let others put negative energy into your space and in what you, any experiences that you've had, because it's too personal. So to remember that. Okay.
I'm glad you said that, Janet, too, because that was another thing I wanted to say about Jean is, despite the language that was coming towards her about these precious experiences, she trusted them.
And yes.
We have to do. We just have to trust them. Trust That's ourselves. True.
Very true. Very true.
Thank you, Janet.
Okay, now we're going to end with the Mahayama prayer. May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey. And that's it.
Thank you, Janet.
Thank you, Janet. You have a beautiful Easter, and we'll see you in a month.
Sounds good. You guys take care. Good night.
Good night.